This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
You're in Christ Jesus. Heaven and earth can pass away. His words will not pass away. Jesus is the Word of God that remains forever. If you are in Christ, yes, we have a final destination. Whatever that is, the Bible says it's going to take eternity for God to unveil what He's prepared for those that love Him. But we are in Christ Jesus right now. Right now we are in Him. In Him. If God is for us, then who can be against us? The Lord is my rock. He is my strong tower. He is my fortress. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came against me, what happened to them? They stumbled and fell. All the promises, every single promise in this Bible, and there is a lot of them, and they are good. Every single promise in this Bible is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Who is God waiting to say the amen? Us. Isn't that exciting? You're in Christ, I'm in Christ. And God's waiting for that amen, that we testify every word that you have spoken is true. Every word, every single word is true. Boy, what a hope we have. So if your journey maybe is a bit tough at the moment, well, that's all right, because you are in Christ. He will never leave you, never forsake you. So don't leave Him. He has gone away. He has prepared a place for us, and He has brought us to that place in Him. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible can say that we have come to Mount Zion. We have come, not going. We have come to Mount Zion, to an innumerable company of angels in joyful assembly. Well, if they're rejoicing, I want to join them. Because we've got so much more to rejoice at, that the angels want to look into what God is doing for us. That's where we've come. We have been raised up. We have been made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. God's waiting for those amens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, all the worship team. Really appreciate you playing. And I just want to share a little bit this morning, just to continue on with what I shared the other week. There is that Jesus went away. This is in John 14. He said, "Don't be troubled. Don't be upset. Don't be troubled. I'll go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." You know, it was Philip said, "Where are you going?" You know, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the place? And that's when he said, "Philip, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So that was John 14. If you want to go in your Bibles to John 15. Well, maybe I'll just finish what I said in John 14. He's gone away to prepare a place. This is something he's already done. And if you look at John 14, I'll just recap something of what I said. In verse 9 of John 14, Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long?" He's talking, responding to Philip, who asked him, "Show us the Father." "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father." And then he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me." So this incredible mystery of this Godhead, we heard it from Tim this morning in communion, the three in one, this incredible unity of three separate people that are totally can't be divided. They are one. They are one. He's talking about this mystery, and he's inviting us to join it. Isn't that incredible? That's astounding. How do you work that out? I do not. I'm not going to even try. By trying, I'm going to flounder. But he's inviting us into that same unity. Most assuredly, verse 11, he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Right? Miracles were happening. Well, there's the proof of it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, let God be true, every man a liar. I don't know how many times I try to explain that away, why it doesn't happen, but that's the truth. That's the truth. That's what he's handing out to us. Now go down. Let's continue from then. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. The whole purpose of Jesus going to the cross was so that we wouldn't be left orphans. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Isn't that incredible? We've astounded. We've been called into that same fellowship. No wonder angels want to look into it. Now, I've heard, angels have to make an appointment to see God. Anytime we want, we can come and run and jump on our Father's lap. What were the words? Boldly I approach your throne. What was the second line? How's it go? Blameless now, I'm running home. Isn't that good? You don't have to make an appointment. You can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus. What an incredible thing. No wonder angels are looking into it, want to look into it. In that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Well, I want to see a greater manifestation of God in this house. Do you? I want to see it. All right. So here he's saying, well, now I want to go to John 15. He brings up a picture here in John 15 and verse 1. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, we better take that seriously. We've got to bear fruit. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Isn't that amazing? We're clean because of his word, by believing his word. He came and died for us. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the penalty for all of our sins so that we can receive complete freedom and cleansing. Now, verse 4, here's something. See, we couldn't do anything about all this. He's done it all for us. Could you add to it? Could you take away from it? No, you can't. You can't add to what God's done, and you cannot take away from it. It is true. It is true. The only thing we can do about it is either receive it or reject it. You are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, just read this one. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Okay, so what I want to look at here is this, just this word abiding and remain, continue. You could use another word there, continue. In fact, in some translations, it's translated continue, abide in me. The same word is used in John chapter 8 when the disciples, there were people following Jesus, and he turns around and said to them, if you continue in my word, same word, abide, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In other words, they heard it, but he's telling them, if you continue in it. It's almost like, how do you explain that? You know, sometimes when you, how we learn language, how we teach our children how to speak. You know, I've often said it, when our children were young, there's competition, I want their first word to be daddy. Obviously, it's all about me, see? And there's the first word, say mummy, say daddy. I think it was mummy though. Yeah, anyway, but there you go. So we put words in their mouth. Now, when they first speak it, they don't understand. But the more they speak it, then understanding comes. And that's how actually we learn. God, didn't he say that to Jeremiah? I've put my words in your mouth. And and that word, you know, where it says we're to meditate in his word day and night, and then we will be successful. That word meditate, part of it means to mutter. So I said, speaking it to yourself. Isn't that what the scripture says? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a joy involved too, because we've received such a great salvation. So we put words in our children's mouth to teach them to speak. And now a lot of education says we've got to give children all the information so that they can come to the right conclusion. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says teach a child what is right. Don't teach them what is wrong. And that's what the world's trying to do, to teach our children, that we've got to give them all this information and they will just somehow come to the right conclusion. Well, somebody's tipping the scales somewhere, and much better that parents do it, teach their children, they won't depart from it when they get older. So I want to look at this word abiding. Remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's a place of abode. It's a place where you remain. It's not a place where you just visit. It's not a holiday home. It's a place where you remain. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And then Psalm 24, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall remain in that holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart hasn't lifted up his soul to an idol. He receives blessing from the Lord. So God has made a place for us where we can remain, where we can be sure, we can be established. And now Jesus is telling us, there's a condition, if we abide in him. Now, I just want to grab something I brought in. Okay, Bev, maybe you can get this out for me, and probably get you. Have to be careful holding it. Yeah, careful the branches don't break. And watch the bottom of it. If you want to hold that, this is a real tragedy. Matthew Gay, or Gay, you'll see this as a real tragedy. This was a maple. This is probably about 30 plus years old. Oh no, it was at least 25. And I thought, what a ripper bonsai. Look at the shape of it, isn't it incredible? Can everybody see that? Yeah, do it again.
No, it might fall apart.
So this used to be a little cart that it was in, had a little horse-drawn cart with wheels on it. It fell apart over the years. And Matthew made this as well. And I put this bonsai in this cart. It looked good in the garden until it died, obviously. And one holiday we went away, and of course I wasn't able to water it, and it was particularly hot, and it came back and it had died. It was a real tragedy. I was thinking it just had such a great shape to it as a little bonsai. It looked amazing. Anyway, that's probably a depressing picture. But what I wanted to point that out about is that that's a tree that's dead. There's no life in it. The Bible talks about all of humanity is actually like that tree. The Bible says that the penalty for sin is death. And the Bible says that all have sinned. If you read Romans, it talks about Adam, that everyone born of Adam is born in sin, that we've all sinned, and the penalty for sin is death. So looking at that tree, that's a picture of all humanity. All humanity is dead. And try as we might, there's no life in it. No life, you know. Great form, but no life. And I don't know why I didn't throw that out. I kept it. I thought, oh, it's such a good form. Maybe I should put some false leaves on it. You know, it still looked pretty good because the rest of it looks so perfect as a bonsai. It does look pretty good, Gay. Yeah, it's a real tragedy, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, that's my tragedy. That's why I haven't thrown it out. But it's getting close to that point. But that's a picture of all humanity, that we are dead in sin. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So how does he do that? Well, first of all, he came and he paid the penalty for every single person on the planet, all of humanity, paid the price so that whoever believes can be born again. Even while we were dead in sin, he loved us and paid the price for us so that we can be alive in Christ. That we're actually, the Bible says, regenerated, born again. And then we become one with him. Now, that's what he's done. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. We can either believe it or not believe it. But here, Jesus is asking us to remain. I went round to I've spoken about this before. My brother grows maples, Johnny. He grows maples and he grafts them. And if you've seen those maples out the front there, the grafted weeping maples, that's what he does. He does elms and other things as well. But maples is his speciality. And I didn't realise this, but he had been working as a nurseryman for well over 30 years. And so it must have been, when he was, I think he started when he was 16, didn't he, with Case? Yeah, started working for a nurseryman, Case, who grew maples, and that would have been over 30 years ago. And he was saying that he developed, at that stage, grafting the maples, a better system of doing it, when he was working with Case, apprentices together. And they developed this method of grafting together that made it a whole lot easier. They used to use buds, and apparently the buds could bruise very easily. And so they didn't get a good, sometimes not a good growth or a strong take. So he developed this grafting method. And I asked him to show me how he did it. So I went round there again the other day. I said, show me again how you do your grafting. And so he has the stock plant, you know, a maple. And then he cuts a piece of wood off of a weeping maple, and he cuts it in such a way, you know, it's sliced in such a way to line up with the host wood. And then he made this cut in the host wood, like a slit in the bark, did a T, and he slipped this slither of wood that he was grafting into it, into that cut in the host plant. And then he wraps this tape around it and says, oh, how long do you leave the tape on? He says, oh, I leave that on for 21 days, no more. He said, if you leave it longer than 21 days, it gets calloused, and then it may stay alive. Oh, John, you obviously know. It may stay alive, but it never really grows properly. And a lot of cases, it dies as well. So I was just watching that and thinking about what has happened to us. That the Bible says that we have actually been grafted in. If you read, anybody's read Romans, I think it's 11, he's talking about that, that we've been grafted into the olive tree. We are wild olives, and we've been grafted into the olive tree. And by faith, actually, that the branches were broken off, those that were in unbelief, the natural branches, which are the Jewish people, if they were broken off through unbelief, that we as Gentiles are grafted into that stock plant. And so we've been grafted in into Christ Jesus, as always was him. He is the one that they're believing for, the one that was hidden as a root out of, you know, dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when people saw him, they said, well, who's he? And yet he's the one, he's that plant that is alive, and we are grafted into him. And I thought about this, you know, how Johnny would tape it up to protect it, first of all, from the elements, disease getting in. But then if you left that tape on too long, then the plant would never grow strong enough. And I could relate that to our own walk in the Lord. Sometimes we can become so dependent on other people and not pursue the Lord ourselves. That word abide means that we have to do something. It means continue. Often the Apostle Paul says, continue in the things that you have heard and received from me. So what did Paul show? He showed them how to pray. He showed them how to wait upon the Lord. He showed them how to meditate in the Word of God. He showed them how to behave. He showed them that they were to work hard. They were to supply other people's needs so they had extra. He showed them a lot of practical things that showed them how to abide in Christ. Because it's not just hearing, but it's doing it as well. And so we, in the same way, like Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, he's right there. We are in Christ Jesus. But Johnny said after 21 days, he'd pull the tape off and see whether it had taken. He actually used that word, whether it took, whether it had taken, whether it had grown into the host plant. And then he'd find, it's perfect now, it's good. He knows it's safe now because it's growing and it's starting to produce fruit. And I think a lot of times in our own life, you know, we've got to look the same way. John, have you taken? Now, Bev, have you taken? Have you connected? Are you abiding in him? Because there's going to be a natural outworking of that, of growth and fruit that's going to come because we've taken. You know, there may be seasons and all that. We understand that. But growth is growth. And that's what I will look at, that we need to know, first of all, that we are in Christ Jesus. Don't be shaken from that, because what he has done is a work that we can't add to or take away from. It's a complete work. And as we abide in him, remain in him, trust him, not allow ourselves to be shaken by the winds, different winds that blow, that shake our lives up, as he wants to see fruit in us. I want to read one other scripture as well in Romans chapter 6. This is a scripture I was taught very early in my Christian life. Bev would know this as well, from Hal Oxley. He used to drum this into us. And I think a good thing. In Romans chapter 6, we're going to read start from verse 3. It says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we also should walk in newness of life." We've got to walk in this newness of life. "For if we've been united together in the likeness," that word united can be also translated planted, "if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." And this is the one, verse 6, "knowing this, that our old man," here he is, dead, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now I think back of that analogy of grafting. When he cuts off a piece of wood from, you know, the weeping part, the wood, he cuts it off for the plant to graft it in. At that point, there's a death. Would you say there's a death? You know, and then of course it's grafted into the new plant, and there's a life that takes place. And when I think about that, you know, Johnny, the knife he used, he has to have an incredibly sharp knife, so it does as least amount of damage as possible, bruising, I would say, to the plant, and yet cuts it cleanly. And I think about the Word of God. This word is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think about when Peter stood up and he preached Jesus after the people gathered around at Jerusalem, saw people speaking in tongues and what's going on with these people. He stood up and told them, "This same Jesus that you have crucified, God has raised him up and seated him on the throne, made him both Lord and Christ." And the Bible says their response is they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What, brethren, what should we do? What do we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In other words, what's happening there? The knife is being applied, the Word of God. And they realize that in their present state, where they are, just like this tree, there's no hope, there's no future, there's no life. It might, you know, have all the fake leaves on it and the fake fruit that I could have done to this particular tree and made it look like it was alive, but there's no life. And the Word of God came and they realized, I'm dead. There's no future, no hope. And so the Word of Lord cut into their lives and they realized that they were the ones that crucified, their sin had crucified the Son of God. And the same with us, same with me, when I realized that I deserve to go to hell for all eternity because of my sin. And the Word of God convicts me of I'm cut off. But then I believe Jesus rose again from the dead and he grafts me into him. And from that point, I've got to abide in him. Now, that's what happens to us. And baptism is a declaration where we say, this is what has happened to me. I've been cut off from the world. And so when you go down the waters of baptism, that's the old me. I'm finishing with it. And a lot of people, you know, that's why baptism is important. If something dies, what do you do with it? You bury it. You know, it was Abraham when his wife died. "Let me bury my dead out of my sight." Right? Did he hate her? No, of course he didn't. If something's dead, you bury it. Get it out of your sight because it stinks. You know, how many of us keep dead things around? You know, bury it. Once you've buried it, you've finished with it. If you bury it, you've finished with it. A lot of people struggle with things in their life. We'll bury it. Then it's the finish. Doesn't matter what you felt about it. You can weep, you can laugh, you can whatever. But it's out of your sight. It's dealt with. So bury it. So that then we can cleave to Christ. We can continue. We can abide in him, remain in him. And that, what are the things? I just want to finish. Oh, send the time again. Just let me finish with Acts chapter 2, if you want to go there. Oops, going the wrong way. Going to need my glasses. I wrote in my Bible very small a couple of years ago. All right. Acts chapter 2. Remember, I just talked about Peter said to them, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. All right, added, they were connected, they were joined to them. All right, they're joined to who? The church, which is joined to who? Christ. They were added, they were connected. Now, this is what they did. Verse 42, and they continued. They continued steadfastly. Here it's overemphasized. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They wasn't just hearing it. Doctrine is something you do. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And the outworking, the fruit of that, was fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. He who believed were together, had all things in common. But they were to continue steadfastly. It means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent at, to attend assiduously all the exercises. Well, what would be a better, attend religiously. Actually, that's probably not a good analogy anymore, is it? Well, anyway, they really knuckled down. They were earnest towards those four things. And they're very important. The doctrine, that's the doing of God's will, fellowship with one another, breaking of bread. And as we did that this morning with Tim, acknowledging who we are in him and with each other as well, and in prayers. And that's what it means to abide in him. If we abide in him, his words abide in us. We will ask what we will, and it shall be done. Hallelujah. Can you stand up, please? I want to pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you. This is a day of salvation. It's a day that you have made. It's a day where we look up and see that you are on the throne, that, Lord, all power, all authority is in your name, and you're the one that is sending us to go in your name, Lord, to bring your life, to bring your truth, to bring your health, to bring your salvation to as many as we contact, Lord, because your life is in us. And I thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your word encouraging hearts, Lord. I thank you for faith being quickened today, Lord, that we can do all things through you, because you are the strength of our lives, and that we are in you and you are in us. Lord, thank you as we assure our hearts before you and continue and abide in you. Lord, we will ask what we will, and it shall be done for us. Lord, to your glory and to your honor and your praise. And we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name and give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.